You're listening to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, and I'm at the NCAA Men's Division I Swimming and Diving Championships. I had a pleasure to talk with Bob Grosseff about his breaststroker, Michael Alexandrov. Thanks for joining me, Bob.
Thank you.
Bob, it must have been an exhilarating night last night. I think it was last night, right?
Exactly.
Michael broke the 100 breaststroke record.
Correct. Yeah.
51, 56, one of the oldest records in the book.
Right.
With Jeremy Lin, he just had to be thrilled.
Oh yeah. Well, you could see the excitement when he finished. You know, and he swam such a good race. But you know, a lot of times you see guys exhausted at the end of the race. But Michael was practically leaping out of the water and had a huge grin on his face. You know, that's something he'd been working for all year. So he was very excited.
But ESPN was right there with the camera, and he kept looking over at his team, and his picture was up on the scoreboard. So the height of, you know, of all of his accomplishments and emotions. I know his father was in the stands. So just tremendous. And then you come today, and he's in the 200 breaststroke, the number one seed.
Right.
You know, he's going out nice and relaxed, just wants to qualify. One lap to go, he gets disqualified.
Yep.
I remember seeing your face walking over there, and next thing I know, you know, it's a done deal.
Right.
What does a coach do at that moment?
Well, I think there are a couple things that are important. Number one, your first responsibility is to take care of your athlete, you know, and then, you know, find out that he's been treated fairly in terms of the rules. So, you know, after I found out that there was going to be a DQ and Michael may be involved, as he was getting out of the pool, I asked him, he was walking over by where we were seated, and I said, have any officials talked to you yet? And he said, no. And I said, is there anything that happened while you were swimming that I need to know about? You know, and he said, no, I just swam my normal race, you know. So at that point, I went over to the official's desk, and Bruce Ferenc, who's one of the starters and referees, I asked him, I said, are there some disqualifications in this heat? He said, yes, I think they are. And I said, I think we might be involved, and can you find out? He said, well, the head referee, Janine Dennis, had gone down to the turning end of the pool to get the, each official has to fill out a card. She was coming back with cards, and lane four was involved, and that's the lane that Michael was in. So at that point, you know, the first thing you need to do is to, you know, did the official make the right call and so on. So she showed me the card and said, you know, that he had done a one-hand turn, and I just asked her a couple of questions, and I said, well, did he say which turn it was? Because on the card, and that's something that we need to talk about, it just says one-hand turn. It didn't say, you know, turn one, turn three, turn five, or turn seven. And as you know, when the officials are doing, for instance, relay starts and stuff, they have to specify when they write it down which exchange it was. She said no, but you know, I think it was the last one because that's when he raised his hand. So I said, well, okay, you know, if that's the procedure, that's the procedure. Yeah, maybe that's something that we need to clean up in what we're doing.
So your first response is going through a fact check.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, emotions not setting in yet. You know, you've got a lot to deal with here. A young man who was basically poised to be able to take down
Brendan
Hansen's record.
Yeah.
And after his 100, it's very possible. So now you've got to go over and talk with your athlete.
Exactly. Well, you know, the next thing is, you know, Michael's kind of standing back, and, you know, and I went over, and he's obviously pretty emotional at that time, and so I just grabbed him by his arms, and I said, Michael, you know, I said, this is a judgment call. I said, I'm going to work my ass off for you, but more than likely it's not going to be changing. You got to accept that right now. So he was strong, you know, he's nodded his head, and he, you know, went over and kind of put his head down, and then now I've got people coming at me with cameras and, you know, we've got it on tape and we've got it on tape and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, I had two people that were, you know, and they're like, here, I don't see it, you know.
So there's an argument element that you've got to decide?
Well, no, you know, I know that they don't accept the tape,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
So I know that as a fact, and I just said, put them away, I don't even want to see them, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're fine, and I just said, okay, I want to talk, you know, went back to Janine. And I said, you know, I want to talk to the official, I want to find out what he saw and what happened. And and she said, well, you know the meet's going on, you can't talk to him now. I said, well, what do I have to do? Do I have to file a protest to be able to get to talk to him? And she said, well, it's a judgment call, we can't file a trust. She said, but you can talk to him after the meet's over, after, you know, the prelims are over. So I said, well, I want to do that. She said, okay, that's fine, go talk to him after that. So, you know, now, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we had a kid swimming in the 200 fly in one of the early heats, and you know, I'm sure the other guys on the team were devastated, and I, you know, I think, you know, in retrospect, I may have, you know, let that kid down. He's getting ready to swim the 200 fly, and one of his teammates, you know, gets disqualified.
Well, Bob, I'll come to your defense, because I was watching, observing it all, and you came over, and you were there, and I saw you cheering him on. Your mind might not have been there, but you were physically there. And as far as that gentleman was, I think you were a perfect gentleman and a class coach at that point.
Well, thanks. You know, so that, you know, at that point, we're just, you know, trying to get everybody settled down, because we got a 400 free relay going. And so, you know, I just got the guys together and just said, you know, let's not leave any doubt. Let's make sure we get in, you know, and we can't do anything about what's been done. And, you know, obviously the kids were better at it than I was, than I am now, too.
Well, it's, you know, you work a whole year, well, 4 years, and you get to the top of this, and you know, let's specifically, it was an illegal touch.
Right.
It was a judgment call.
Correct.
By the official, who, by the way, was standing right over the lane.
Correct, yeah.
However, on a given day, another official could have been there.
Exactly.
It's something different.
Exactly. And that, you know, I think that's one of the things that you know, we need to clean up. And, I mean, eventually we're going to have to use videotape to confirm things. There's, you know, there's no doubt about that. And you know, one of the things that concerns you when you think about it is exactly what you said. If another official had been standing there, he might not have made the call. Now, in talking to Mike and some other people who got more sophisticated camera equipment, you know, they said, well, you know, we got the close-up on it, and he came in with his hand streamlined and hit with both hands and then pulled one hand away. That could have been misconstrued. That, at this point, that's not really important. You know, the videotapes can't be used, and, you know, the guy made the call, and I think he probably called what he saw. And, I'm not, you know, at no point did I question the integrity of the official or that, you know, that he, you know, he missed the call or anything like that. I mean, the officials are generally reluctant to make calls and for the most part, and you know, they know how hard these kids work. They're not anxious, but, you know, I think sometimes we need to think in context, you know, in football or basketball. You know, if a bad call is made, the game goes on. But in swimming, if the call is made, it's over.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right.
Right.
You know. And now, where are you going with him right now? I mean, how he's had a day, afternoon to think about all this. He'll be coming back tonight.
Sure.
I guess there's no grand, you know, textbook way of dealing with this. Everybody.
Well, I think two things. I've talked to Michael. I just got done talking with him before I came over here. You know, and I just said, you know, first of all, we talked about what he needed to do swimming wise. He's preparing to go to the World Championships in next week, and, you know, we talked about what we wanted him to do tonight. And I just said, you know, Michael, the rest of the guys are going to be looking to you to see how you react to this, and it's, you know, we still got a meet to go tonight, and you got to be, you know, enthusiastic and stay on top of it and everything like that.
But you said something important. You know, you immediately start focusing on the World Championships.
Right.
So any predictions? What's going to happen with this gentleman with all this pent-up anger or whatever?
Obviously, it's going to be a source of motivation for him. It's going to make him hungry. You know, without having seen him swim long course for a while, and, you know, it's hard for me to say. You know, I think Michael will do his best times, and I think there's no doubt about that because he's swimming so well right now. Just, you know, how fast he swims is problematical.
So, Bob, what can we learn from this?
Well, I think my thought process now is what can we do to make it fair for everyone else? You know, I think, you know, involving videotaping decisions, maybe having calls having to be confirmed like they are on relay takeoffs or false starts. You have a dual confirmation here. You have one person making the call. And again, I think that officials need to look at things in context. You know, a guy swimming easy in a prelim swim, not trying to gain an advantage, is maybe being sloppy on a turn. I'm not saying that Michael even did that, but you know, shouldn't be judged the same way as a guy swimming in the finals and maybe taking a stroke into the wall and touching one hand and gaining an advantage. I think the operative thing should be here is whether someone is trying to gain an advantage, and if they are, then the rule should be enforced and enforced rigorously. If someone makes a mistake and no one gets hurt by it, maybe that's the time you go to a kid and said, you know, I looked at your turn there and it looked a little sloppy, and you know, you need to watch it.
Well, overall, Northwestern's had an incredible meet. You got a great program going, and I think all in all, this is probably something that everybody will come away with at some point in time. With,
oh, I'm sure they will. You know, our guys, we've had a great meet, and we're trying not to let these setbacks. We got DQ'd in the 200 medley relay last night, and you know, I told the guys just now, you know, I'm just proud of the way that they're handling themselves in pretty adverse circumstances, and with a small team, obviously we don't have much margin of error, so we're going to try and swim fast tonight and stay in the hunt.
Well, good luck.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
This is Brent Rudemeller with Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world.